following program is brought to you by friends and partners of End Time Headlines.
All right, what's up, everybody? It is Friday, August 4th, and we want to welcome you to tonight's broadcast. This is End Time Headlines, and I'm your host, Ricky Scapero, the founder and the voice of End Time Headlines. We want to welcome everybody to the broadcast. Again, if this is your first time joining us, please let us know in the comments section below what state you're joining us from, or if you're outside of the United States, let us know that as well, and that you are new or this is your first time joining us in the broadcast. We'd love to see hear from you tonight in the comment section. So tonight we're going to talk about mad scientists and the days of Noah. So what I want to do tonight, we're going to go over some articles, we're going to show you some videos, but I kind of want to slow the pace down a little bit, take my time, and I want to teach a little bit on why Jesus referenced the days of Noah when he talked about what would be the signs of the coming of the Lord, and he referenced the days of Noah as they would be repeated. He said there would be signs to look for, and there would be things that were transpiring and taking place in the days of Noah in the earth that would repeat, or they would resurface again in the days leading up to the coming of the Lord. All right, so let's give you those verses. If you're listening by Apple or by Spotify, we're going to start here in Matthew chapter 24, verses 36 through 42. Of course, we'll highlight those points that we're going to pull out of this. I'm going to be reading from the New King James Version. Again, Matthew chapter 24, 36 through 42. But of that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, speaking past tense, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be, speaking future tense. So he's telling us, if we want to know what will be the indicators, the signs of the coming of the Lord, and what the generation will look like in the earth, what are things happening? He tells us to go back and look and study the days of Noah. And that's what we're going to do tonight. For as in the days before the flood, or we could say as in the days before the judgment of God, because that's what it was, they were eating, drinking, marrying, giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark, and did not know until the flood came and took them all away, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. And we'll just stop right there. But notice here, I found it interesting that Jesus referenced everyday life here. He references the commonality of the day. And notice he focused on here, he says, before the flood, life was normal. Life was going on as usual. They were eating, drinking, giving in marriage. They were living life as normal. Nowhere in here did Jesus point out things that I'm getting ready to show you in this program that were taking place in the earth that caused the Lord to bring about the flood to begin with. So I think that's interesting. Well, I'm going to try to go back to that at the end of this broadcast and show you why that may be, why he didn't reference that. Now, let's go over here to Luke chapter 17. We're going to start at verse 22. Luke 17, 22. Then he said to the disciples, "The days will come when you will desire to see one of the days of the Son of Man, and you will not see it. And they will say to you, 'Look here,' or 'Look there.' Do not go after them or follow them. For as the lightning that flashes out of one part of under heaven shines to the other part of under heaven, so also the Son of Man will be in his day." Verse 25, "But first, he," the Son of Man, "must suffer many things and be rejected by this generation." He was talking about the generation of their day. "And as it was in the days of Noah," here we go again, this reference of the days of Noah, "so will it be also in the days of the Son of Man." So again, past tense gives us a preview of future tense. And listen to what he says. "They ate, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all." Now we're going to put a stake there because we're going to go back to that. So this is the beginning. We're going to give you the middle, and then we're going to go back to it to give you the end, because I believe I'm going to show you why he made this point of the lifestyle and the activities that were taking place before the judgment came. Because they didn't know the judgment was coming, but Noah did. That's the difference. And we're going to go back to that in just a second. But now, what I'm about to get into, a lot of people don't know this, because I'm going to reference a book. I'm going to reference a book that is mentioned in the Bible. In fact, let's show you where it's mentioned. All right, the first mention of this book is in the book of Joshua, chapter 10, verses 12 through 14. Let's read it together. And then Joshua spoke to the Lord in the day when the Lord delivered up the Amorites before the children of Israel. And he said in the sight of Israel, quote, "Sun, stand still over Gibeon, and moon in the valley of Ajalon." So the sun stood still, and the moon stopped till the people had revenge upon their enemies. All right, now I'm going to read the latter part of verse 13. Is this not written in the book of Jasher? So notice here that in the book of Joshua, it references the book of Jasher, where this story about the sun standing still for Joshua and the armies of Israel, it is referenced in this book. Well, of course, if we take our 66 books of the Bible, we will not find that. We will not find that book. The book of Jasher will not be found. Here, let me give you another reference to this book. 2 Samuel chapter 1, verses 17 and 19. And then David lamented with this lamentation over Saul and over Jonathan, his son. And he told them to teach the children of Judah the song of the bow. Indeed, look here, it is written in the book of Jasher, quote, "The beauty of Israel is slain on your high places, how the mighty have fallen." So again, I want to emphasize here that there is this book called the Book of Jasher that's mentioned twice in the Old Testament, but is not found anywhere in the 66 books of the canon of Scripture. Therefore, I like to call these books like this history. And you know, some people get upset because you reference these books. But again, the reason why I showed you this is your Bible references this book. I don't think God, if all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, then why would he even reference this book to begin with? I'm just saying. So now you say, well, why does that matter? Because I want to go into the book of Jasher, and I want to give you another side to the days of Noah, other than the culture of that day, okay? I want to reveal to you the darker side of the days of Noah that watched this, that led up to the destruction of the earth through a flood. Why did God destroy the earth by a flood? We're going to show you that. That's why we got to get into the book of Jasher to show you this. So in the book of Jasher, chapter 4, here, I want to read some of these passages. I'm not going to read all of this, but I'm going to highlight some points here, and then we're going to get into some videos and articles. We're going to pull all this together. I promise you, that's the reason why this is an equipping message tonight. All right. But here it is. Book of Jasher, chapter 4, verse 4. "But in the latter days of Methuselah, the sons of men turned from the Lord. They corrupted the earth. They robbed and plundered one another, and they rebelled against God, and they transgressed, and they were corrupt, and they corrupted their ways and would not hearken to the voice of Methuselah, but rebelled against him." Verse 5, "And the Lord was exceedingly wroth against them, and the Lord continued to destroy the seed in those days, so that there was neither sowing nor reaping in the earth." Interesting. Verse 6, "For when they sowed the ground in order that they might obtain food for their support, behold, thorns and thistles were produced, which they did not sow." In other words, thorns, thistles, and famines was a direct consequence to their rebellion against God. Interesting. Gee, again, it was a form of judgment. Verse 7, and still the sons of men did not turn from their evil ways. Notice, even though judgment was coming, they still persisted in their evil ways, and their hands were still extended to do evil in the sight of God, and they provoked the Lord with their evil ways, and the Lord was very wroth and repented that he even made man. Now, again, you can find this in the book of Genesis. This does not contradict Genesis. And he thought to destroy, this is verse 8 of Jasher 4, he thought to destroy and annihilate them, and he did so. Now I want to skip down into verse 16. And all the sons of men departed from the ways of the Lord in those days as they multiplied upon the face of the earth with sons and daughters, and they taught one another their evil practices, and they continued sinning against the Lord. Oh, I want to say that one more time. Now it wasn't just one generation, but they were procreating, and the sons and daughters, or the younger generation of that day, continued to teach one another evil practices and continued sinning against the Lord. In verse 17, it said, every man made unto himself a god, and they robbed and plundered every man, his neighbor, as well as his relative. And they corrupted the earth, and the earth was filled with violence. Now I want you to, this is very interesting. Now I want you to really home in and pay attention to what I'm about to tell you. Verse 18 of Jasher 4. And their judges and rulers went to the daughters of men and took their wives by force. There was corruption in the government. Let me say it again. Their judges and rulers went to the daughters of men and took their wives by force from their husbands according to their choice, and the sons of men in those days. Listen, I can't even say some of the stuff I want to say here because of the, we'll get this taken down. But there was the leadership and the government of that day, in high positions, there was such corruption and immorality that even the sons and daughters were not safe. Let me read on here. The sons of men in those days, listen to this, they took from the cattle of the earth, the beast of the field, and the fowls of the air, and taught the mixture of animals of one species with the other in order therewith to provoke the Lord. They were doing something that was called unnatural. They were playing God. As a result, God saw this. He saw the whole earth, and it was corrupt, and that all flesh had corrupted its ways upon the earth, all men and all animals. So even the animals were corrupted by this practice. Verse 9, and the Lord said, I will blot out man that I created from the face of the earth, yea, from man to the birds of the air, together with the cattle and beasts that are in the field, for I repent that I made them. Verse 20, now this next part is deep. Y'all want to go deep tonight? Listen to this passage out of the book of Jasher chapter 4. Ready? And all the men who walked in the ways of the Lord. Now we're talking about the men who walked in the ways of the Lord. These were righteous men of the earth in those days. Listen to what it says of them. They died in those days before the Lord brought the evil upon man which he had declared. For this was from the Lord, that they should not see the evil which the Lord spoke of concerning the sons of men. Oh, come on. Listen, this should solve an enigma that you have had for years. Have you ever wondered why God is taking home so many of the generals of the faith? How come so many generals of Bible prophecy are being taken home? So many watchmen. So many teachers of the word, they're being taken from the earth. Could it be possible that the evil that is ahead, the evil that is in the future, The days in which the Lord sees, being that he's Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, could it be possible that what he sees and foresees in the future is so corrupt and so wicked and so evil that the Lord is not permitting some of his servants to remain in the earth because of what's about to come, called major judgment? I would even say the wrath of God being poured out upon the earth, called the tribulation. Verse 21, and Noah found grace in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord chose him and his children to raise up seed from them upon the face of the whole earth. Thus, listen, there will always be a remnant that will remain. Jeremiah remained even in captivity, was still used by God. Daniel remained even in those days. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego remained in those days. Joseph, though he was in prison, God still elevated him and still used him. God still used Moses to lead his people out of captivity. Come on, somebody. So God still and always will have a remnant in the land. So let me recap this real quick, and then we're going to get into the headlines and the videos. All right, so let's look at some of the key things that were happening in the days of Noah. Ready? There was violence and lawlessness that was filling the entire earth. Number two, there was the practice and teaching of evil continually, perpetually to each generation. The people of that day turned from the true God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob and made their own gods. Oh, we'll talk about that in just a minute too. They performed experiments with animals in mixing one species with another, even mingling humans with animals. Oh, we're going to talk about that too. There was corruption in the government and high places of authority. So remember, Jesus referenced the days of Noah in Matthew and the account of Luke. Both of these gospels give us these clues of what to look for in the last days in the earth that's transpiring, taking place in that generation prior to the return of the Son of Man. All right, so we have to ask ourselves, are we seeing this in our day, in our lifetime? Are we seeing that which was, is that which shall be, and there's no new thing under the sun? Well, let's take a little journey, if you don't mind. Check out this article. Again, this was published last year. The world is facing the highest number of violent conflicts since World War II, according to a UN chief. Quote, we are facing the highest number of violent conflicts since 1945, according to a UN secretary general who said at a UN meeting, again, this was last year of 2022, he called the war in Ukraine a catastrophe shaking the foundations of the international order, spilling across borders and causing skyrocketing food, fuel, and fertilizer prices to spell disaster for developing countries. He goes on to say that around the world, we are witnessing military coups, seizures of power by force. He goes further and says that in many ways, world conditions are in the worst place they've been in nearly 80 years, with peace being shattered or threatened around the globe. So again, violence. I mean, look around, guys. Take a look. You, everywhere you go, especially social media is filled with this nonsense. TikTok, Facebook, Instagram, Facebook Reels, YouTube, whatever. People capture every single day violent acts taking place, whether it be road rage, whether it be fights in a concert. I mean, people can't even go to anywhere. You see this, you see lawlessness just breaking out everywhere. You see things that you could never imagine in our lifetime. Some of this stuff is shocking to many of us older folks because we never saw things like this 20, 30 years ago. And we're seeing this on a far greater level than we have seen in generations. So to answer the question, is lawlessness growing worse? Is violence getting worse? Yes. And again, even Jesus said in Matthew 24 that lawlessness will abound. And because it will abound, the love of many will wax cold. All right, then remember I told you, according to the account of Jasher, in the days of Noah, every man had their own god, little g. Look at this. This just came out this month of this year. Belief in God, angels, heaven, hell, and the devil have now reached record lows. The shares of Americans who believe in God, angels, heaven, hell, and the devil have all tumbled to the lowest levels ever recorded over the last two decades. And the very belief in God and heaven have made the steepest dips. This is according to a new Gallup poll. This new nationwide survey of over 1,011 adults conducted on May 1st to the 24th and released in July by the analytics and advisory company shows that even though a majority of Americans still believe in each religious entity, God, angels, heaven, hell, and the devil have all lost some attraction among believers. The survey data showed that 74% of respondents said they believe in God, 69% said they believe in angels, 67% expressed belief in heaven, while only 58% said they believe in the devil. All right, here's some more on this.
Americans doubt God's existence more than ever, and the numbers have been plummeting. A new survey out by the NORC at the University of Chicago find that less than 50% of Americans are sure God exists. Back in 2008, it was at 60%. The pandemic, and according to this, changes in societal norms.
Look at this chart. Look at the percentages here in 1985. Even in 1991, 1, 2-ish, it was way up there. And look at this decline. I mean, it's just a slow, and it just gets lower and lower and lower. And it goes all the way up into 65, down all the way into the 50s when we get over here into 2023.
You think are attributed to the fall, and this even means less people are joining and attending church. Hogan Gidley, to you first. This is just sort of the trend continuing.
Yeah, and I'm heartbroken by it. It's very sad. I'm an evangelical Christian, so for me, my belief in Christ and God is paramount to everything I do. I think in large measure, so many in this country are moving away from God for a million different reasons. COVID accelerated some of that when they shut down churches. That sense of community was gone. But also believing the lie that Adam and Eve both believed, which they could be God. And I think in our society today, children...
Did you hear that? The belief of the lie that was given to Adam and Eve that they could be God. Again, this was happening in the days of Noah, and it's repeating in our lifetime.
Adults are taught that you can be God, that God makes mistakes, and you're the one who can change a gender, for example. I don't know, he didn't do it right. You know how to do it right.
Wow.
And I think that's a big problem for our society. You need to believe in something higher than yourself. It gives you a sense of understanding that you aren't the most important thing in the world. There are others that need your help too. And there is a higher power that made you and made this world, and you need to give thanks for that. And the fact we don't believe in that now just really is hurtful to me.
You know, I think this is part of a broader issue that we're seeing across America, where Americans are losing faith in all of our institutions, whether that's government, corporations, media. I mean, all these institutions have had some amount of scandal that has eroded the American people's faith in it. And I think the church isn't immune from having had scandal.
Yeah. On Friday, America's foremost Reformed Christian theologian, Timothy Keller, died in New York. Mm-hmm. And Timothy Keller exhibited a kind of loving, honest, doctrinally sound, but peaceful, loving Christianity that was a great example for people to follow. And you know what I was reminded of? He wasn't political. And one of the things that has hurt the church in America is not the church getting into politics, but politics getting into church. And when those two things, when you get your chocolate and your peanut butter on that, it works to the detriment, not of politics as much as it does to the detriment of faith. And that is a big problem in this stuff.
So, of course, you know, you have difference of opinions of why this and why that. And we could probably, and in all reality, I think all three of them were right. There is a lot of people that is turning away from God, looking to their inner self, looking to New Age, looking to witchcraft, the occult, and just, another Jesus that Paul talked about. So we have this form of godliness, but it's denying the power thereof. And then the lack of trust in institutions, the government, and et cetera, that's true. That's a real thing. I mean, can you blame people? I mean, look at all the lies that's been perpetrated. Look at all the failures that's been perpetrated. And yes, in the government and in the church has caused so many hurts and so many wounds. And it's not God. God didn't hurt us. God didn't wound us. But many in the body of Christ, the pastors, the leadership, the people, and many people that call themselves believers has done more damage to the body of Christ than a lot of stuff. And then the politics getting into the church. I mean, do we really have to repeat the last election? Look at the damage that it caused. Look at all the people, the so-called prophets that came out and told everybody that a certain individual was going to win the election, and it never happened. And it was a fail. And credibility just went down the toilet. So I believe it's a culmination of all these things. But again, I don't want to get hung up into this. I want you to keep on track with me. The prophetic implications of this. This is, again, the repeat of the days of Noah. And then we have this stuff. This is an article from Michael Snyder, The Most Important News. The grotesque experiments that mad scientists around the globe are conducting on human cells are absolutely sickening. For example, there is scientists, and we've pointed this out in previous podcasts, there is scientists now that are actively conducting experiments on human cells. One such team of scientists in Australia just received a giant sum of money so that they can continue to so that they can attempt to merge human brain cells with artificial intelligence.
Received a massive military grant to fuse human brain cells with AI. One scientist involved saying the project, quote, merges the fields of artificial intelligence and synthetic biology to create programmable biological computing platforms. Sultan Meghji is an AI expert and professor at Duke University. He joins me now. Listen, this is incredibly important work, I'm sure. It's also scary to someone like me. I didn't know you could grow brain cells. I did not know you could grow brain cells, and they apparently could play the game, a ping pong computer game. So explain to me what this is.
Well, it's an interesting area, right? And it's something that we've been working on for decades now. For so many years, we've been trying to get artificial intelligence to mimic the human brain, which is the best computer out there.
Yeah.
And this is a great next step. But what really it's trying to do is two things. One is to help us make better hardware so that the computers that are running our AI systems today are faster, more reliable, you know, easier, you know, cheaper, things like that. And then the second is to actually make the AI systems behave more like humans, to have smarter intelligence, because we're really at this issue where AI systems don't really know how to learn as well as a human brain does.
You know, I want to stay on this for a second. These programmable brain cells, are they carbon-based biological matter? Is that really what this is?
Well, you've got a couple of different versions of it, but yeah, in some cases you have a model, so they have a computer chip that mimics how a human brain operates, so that's kind of the more silicon side of things. And then in some cases you have actual biological cells that, you know, look not too dissimilar from a human or a pig sometimes they use. That are just there to receive electrical signals, just like a human brain cell does, and then the electrical signal that comes out controls other computers.
Well, we've shown all morning this list of companies that are saying they're doing this kind of creed to say we're going to do a self-check on AI. Amazon, Google, Meta, Microsoft, OpenAI. What are the kind of moral problems here? If you take this a step further and talk about growing biological matter that could be used as a brain for a computer, and now you have these companies kind of saying, we're going to do a safety code. Could we get into a place like where we were with stem cells a few decades ago?
Well, it's an interesting parallel because, you know, the regulatory system here in the United States hasn't been updated in a while to deal with artificial intelligence, right? And that's why you see these seven companies kind of just agreeing with whatever the Biden administration wants to say. But, you know, stem cells actually have regulations around it. There are a lot of rules about what you can do with biological cells, so it changes the game there.
Very interesting. I want to say scary, but maybe exciting. Who knows?
All right. Then we have this report. California biotech startup aims to make lab-grown babies and believes it will change society as we know it. According to this report from the Daily Mail, a California startup is trying to make human eggs in a lab with the first-of-its-kind technology that revolutionized the fertility market. Biotech company Conception aims to accelerate and eventually commercialize in what's called IVG, which is a process that involves making human eggs and sperm in a laboratory from any cell in a person's body. Again, what are we talking about? Mad scientists and the days of Noah. According to the report, this could mean that people struggling with infertility, as well as same-sex and transgender couples, we knew that was going to be thrown out there, could have their own biological children for the first time. In other words, it eliminates the need for egg and sperm, male and female, to procreate, to produce, to reproduce. However, there are ethical concerns as it means women of any age could have babies. Parents may also want to design their offspring to have certain traits using gene editing tools. I want to say that again. Let's even highlight it. Parents may also want to design their offspring to have certain traits using gene editing tools, giving way to the notion of an assumed perfect child. This is called designer. This is called designer gene editing. This is a real thing that CRISPR is doing. C-R-I-S-P-R. The co-founder of this says, quote, "It's really exciting to be working on a technology that can change the lives of millions of humans." The co-founder, Matt Krisloff, said that the term is essentially trying to turn a type of human stem cell called an induced pluripotent stem cell into a human egg. These stem cells can be made from just a single cell from any person's skin or blood. In theory, these cells can become any cell in the body, including egg and sperm cells. This would allow women to have their own genetically related babies, even if they've lost their eggs. Again, these are the selling points to this, because, again, the women that can't have children and stuff, they're going to flock right to this. There's always going to be the selling point. There's going to be something that's enticing that's going to get you to bite the apple. Come on, to get you to bite the forbidden fruit. The article goes on to say that this would also be a breakthrough for same-sex and transgender couples who otherwise can't have their own biological children. Here's another story that goes right along with this. 100%, look at this, lab-grown babies will be here in 5 years. This is according to Japanese researchers who are on the cusp of creating human eggs and sperm that can be grown in a fake womb. The report says that growing human children from scratch in a laboratory, just saying this makes me cringe, could be possible in just 5 years thanks to a new breakthrough. These researchers in Japan are on the cusp of being able to create human eggs and sperm in the laboratory from scratch, which would then develop in an artificial womb. And we've got some video on this too as well, so let's watch this.
US and UK teaming up to create what is being called the world's a group of scientists from the US and UK teaming up to create what is being called the world's first synthetic human embryos made without eggs or sperm. Some are calling it a scientific breakthrough. Others say it raises serious ethical and legal questions. Dr. Mark Siegel joins us, and you always give it to us straight. Your thoughts on this, Dr. Siegel. Welcome.
Hi, Sandra. This is a tough topic. So, as you know, embryonic stem cell research has traditionally been very controversial. Catholic Church is against it. Some Protestants back it, but there's a big religious backlash against doing research on embryos. And there's an International Society for Stem Cell Research that has said up to 14 days you can do it. Not everybody agrees with that, and then they're trying to extend that. Obviously, 14 days comes from the time of implantation. They're figuring pre-implantation. Here's what's going on here. They took one single cell, embryonic stem cell, one single cell, and they're manipulating it to see what the placenta would look like, what the yolk sac would look like. They're not creating actual embryos that you could do something with. There's no precursor of a brain or a heart, and they're not planning on using it for anything other than testing why someone miscarries or what are genetic abnormalities and can you predict them. But I have a question. I would have a question for the researcher here, same as I have a question about gain-of-function research. Could you do this with computers? Could you do this with artificial intelligence? Could you predict this without using this actual cell and manipulating it? That's the question they really have to answer from an international science point of view. And then, of course, there's the religious backlash.
So do we believe that? Do we actually believe that nothing sinister or nefarious is going to come out of this and it's all okay, guys? Don't worry about it. We're just doing this for the best of mankind, for the benefit of mankind, to help people. Right. We're going to give you some more videos on this in just a second, but let me show you another article here. Quote, virgin birth genetically engineered into female animals for the first time. Here it is. Scientists alter the genomes of female fruit flies. Why? So they can allow them to reproduce without any contribution from a male. Now you have to ask yourself, why? Why are they doing this? Do we really have to answer this question? Do you really think that people are stupid enough to believe that there is not a nefarious reason for this? Do we not believe that there is sinister reasonings behind these experiments to eliminate the natural order of God's creation to procreate? Again, I'm still in the book. I'm still from a biblical perspective. I'm talking about the days of Noah. The book of Jasher tells us in those days there was the mixing of genes, the mixing of species, animals with mankind and animals with other animals. And God said it was corrupt and it was wicked. For the first time, scientists have used genetic engineering to trigger virgin birth. And I hate, that's a very derogatory term. And it's ridiculous. And female animals that normally need a male partner to reproduce. Previously, scientists have generated young mice and frogs with no genetic input from a male parent, but those offspring were made by tinkering with egg cells in a laboratory dishes rather than by giving female animals the capacity for virgin birth, also known as parthenogenesis. The report went on to say that in mammals, offspring are produced when male sperm fertilizes females' eggs. But many species of insect and lizard, as well as other animals, have also evolved, which requires no genetic contribution from a male as an alternative to sex. Now, again, where do we think this is leading to? What do we think this is going to introduce down the road? We'll just let you figure that one out. Remember a while ago when I talked about the company CRISPR, C-R-I-S-P-R? Listen to this. China quietly confirms a third CRISPR-edited baby has been born. Now, this was reported 3 years ago, but listen to this shocking story. Back in 2020, a Chinese state-run news agency, a researcher responsible for creating the world's first gene-edited babies, had been sentenced to 3 years in prison on the charge of illegally practicing medicine. Given that China condemned his research almost immediately after he announced the birth of the twin babies, again, these are gene-edited babies already born, it's not particularly surprising to hear that the researcher is being punished for his controversial experiment. But included in this latest report was a bit of news we thought that we might never hear. And this, again, according to Science Alert, that a third gene-edited baby was officially born. Back in November of 2018, when the announcement was first given and the existence of the gene-edited twins were announced, he also let slip that another woman was pregnant with an additional edited embryo.
Beautiful little Chinese girl.
This is the doctor who changed the future of the human race and let the world know on YouTube. He Jianquai stunned the scientific community with the claim he pushed the boundary no one else had.
A line has been crossed that should not have been crossed.
It's very disturbing. It's inappropriate.
Oh, this is huge.
He says he genetically edited human embryos, not just for research, but for implantation, leading to the world's first births of genetically altered humans, baby girls born in China from embryos designed to be resistant to HIV.
For this specific case, I feel proud, actually.
The tool used by He, called CRISPR, is found in labs around the world.
It gives us the precise way of cutting the gene or putting a new piece of gene in.
It's often used by researchers trying to treat incurable diseases.
The method itself is very easy. You can use it, everyone can use it now.
Leaders in the field of gene editing have collectively agreed it's too early to implant edited embryos in humans because of the risks, the unknowns, and the ethical questions about altering humankind.
We're at a hinge of human history.
William Hurlbut is a leading American bioethicist who teaches at Stanford University. In the months before the news broke, Dr. He consulted with him.
Every time we met together, we would talk about the seriousness of the issues and in a sort of stepwise way what you had to do to make sure that it was done right. But when I heard that there were live born children from it, I thought, oh my gosh, he just jumped ahead.
Hurlbut knew nothing of the plans to implant edited human embryos. Dr. He studied at Stanford as a postdoctoral fellow where he worked with leading researchers. Hurlbut describes him as smart but perhaps too trusting of his own wisdom.
He's young, he's inexperienced, and he's, you know, he's from a small rural community in China.
His research has been shut down by Chinese authorities. It's also raised questions about whether there will be a rash of new regulations to stymie scientific development or if scientists can regulate themselves.
Now, you think about this. This was shut down, but what? Look at the lab that they just discovered in California where they don't even know the full extent of what was even going on in this lab. And think about, these are the things that have made the light of day. What is going on behind closed doors in a laboratory somewhere in the stealth of darkness that we will never know about? This is insane. It is the days of Noah. So guys, I wanted to show you these things, because it is important for us to know, equip ourselves, and identify these things. What are these signs? Because we've got a generation looking up to us, and they're wanting to, you know, and they're wanting to know these things, and we've got to equip them and teach them. So I've given you these things today. Jesus said, again, let me refresh your memory on something here. Remember, in the days of Noah, the sins that brought about the judgment of God were violence and lawlessness that were filling the earth, that was going from generation to generation. There was the practice and the teaching of evil continually. They were turning from the one true God and making their own gods, little g. There was government corruption and corruption in the highest levels of office in those days. And they were performing these experiments where they were mingling species with other species. And as a result of this, God brought a destructive flood. Watch this. That came in a day and an hour they did not know was coming. Now I want to take you back. Remember, I told you I was going to start you out here in the beginning, take you to the middle, and then circle back around to the end. Now let's read these verses again. In Matthew 24, Jesus said, "We don't know the day or the hour. No man knows, not even the angels of heaven, but the Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so will the coming of the Son of Man be." Now look, now let's take this from a different angle. "For as in the days before the flood, they were eating, drinking, marrying, and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark. and did not know until the flood came and took them all away. So also will the coming of the Son of Man be. In other words, listen, the world has no clue the wine cup of the wrath of God is filling up. They have no clue. They're continuing in their lawlessness. They're continuing in their evil. They're continuing in their corruption. And these scientists, these researchers are continuing in backdoor, dark laboratories behind the scenes, performing experiments that are blasphemous, that are angering the Lord. All of these things that are happening simultaneously is building up, is storing up wrath for the day of judgment. And he tells us here that life will go on as normal. These people are clueless. You try to warn them about this, they don't want to hear it. They will shun you, they'll blow you off, they'll think you're a nut, they'll laugh you, they'll scorn you, and they'll mock you. The Bible makes it clear that mockers in the last days will mock. Scoffers will mock in the last days. So, just like in the days of Noah, there was a remnant that was prepared. There was a remnant that was ready. There was a remnant that was knowledgeable, that had understanding of how God was grieved and that time was running out. And the Bible says that Noah prepared an ark for the saving of his household. So the only group that was not caught off guard was Noah and his family, but everyone else was caught off guard, and they knew not until the day that Noah entered the ark, and then the judgment came. My friends, this is a snapshot preview of what's going to happen in the future. There will come a day when the Lord is going to return. There will be a sound of a trumpet blast. The remnant will enter in the door, and the door will be shut. And it will happen on a day that is just like today. It will be a normal day. People will be getting married. People will be building. They'll be sowing. They'll be reaping. They'll be eating. They'll be drinking. They'll be living life as normal, punching the clock, going to work, coming home from work with their families, doing whatever they're doing. And they will know not until the day. Look what Jesus says here in verse 40. This is in Matthew 24, verse 40 of the same passage I just told you. Then two men will be in the field. One will be taken and another left. Two women will be grinding at the mill. One taken and the other left. Verse 42. Watch therefore, for you do not know what hour your Lord is coming. So this is what I want to leave you with today. Friends, Jesus Christ is coming back. The signs are all here. As it were in the days of Noah, so shall it be at the return of the Son of Man. We are seeing every single thing that was taking place that Jasher documented. It's in that book. That book is mentioned twice in the Old Testament. It's there. It's referenced. That's historical accounts of what was going on behind the scenes, the sin, the lawlessness, and the blasphemous things that men were doing upon the earth, that God looked down from heaven and saw that it was so bad that he relented and repented of making mankind, and he wiped out the earth. Friend, the Bible makes it clear that the first renovation of the earth through judgment was through water. The second one will be, according to the Apostle Peter, it will be a renovation of fire. It's not a matter of if, but when the day of the Lord comes, there is coming a time that God is going to make a distinction between the righteous and the unrighteous. It'll be a day, again, like I said, it will be a normal day like we're seeing today, and there's going to be a major event take place. And there is going to be, watch this, this event is going to be leaving one person left and another person taken. And I know this is a dinosaur teaching that I almost feel like a dinosaur, because nobody wants to preach on it. Nobody wants to teach on it anymore, because we've got a whole generation up that don't teach this, don't preach this anymore. They don't believe it anymore. But I believe there's going to be an event that Paul talks about in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, there is going to be a trumpet blast, a shout of an archangel, and the dead in Christ shall rise first, and we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds and forever be with them. Paul describes the same event that he wrote to Thessalonians. He did into the church of Corinth. He said this event will happen in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, that we shall take off mortality and put on immortality, because flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. So we will hear the words come up hither, I believe, and we'll be caught up. In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, and when we are caught up and the door is shut, then God will pour out his wrath. So friend, if you're watching this and you're listening to this today and you're not right with God, you're backslid, you're away from God, my friends, you need to repent. You need to get right with God. You need to come right now to your senses. You need to come right now to a place of repentance. Stop playing games. Stop riding the fence. Get right with God before it's too late. Because my friends, you're not going to have all these six steps before the rapture takes place. It's going to happen in an hour and a day that no man knows, nobody on earth, not the angels, not even Jesus, but the Father only knows the day and the hour. We don't know the day nor the hour, but we know the seasons. And Jesus said in Luke 21:28, when you begin to see all these things coming to pass, you better look up, lift up your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. Listen, I need you guys to do me a favor. Hit that like button, hit that share button, hit that subscribe button, that push notification, so you can push our content can get pushed out on all these platforms. Please do that today. Also, if you've not downloaded our free app, again, it's available on Apple and Android devices. Hit yes to push notifications and you're going to be ready to go. And as always, guys, we want to thank you for your generous support, your prayers, and your intercession for myself and for our ministry. Without this, we would not be able to function and do what we're doing on a weekly basis. So listen, if you would like to support this ministry with a gift of any amount, we want to give that opportunity. You can do that two different ways. You can give electronically through the app or through the main website, or right there on your screen, you can make it out to End Time Headlines, P.O. Box 1391. That's Monroe, Georgia, 30655. As always, guys, thank you for another great week of programming and podcasting. We are going to sign off for this Friday, August 4th. We will see you back here on Monday, right back here in the studio, 7 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Eastern. Until then, may the Lord bless you, keep you, and may his countenance shine upon you. Have a great weekend, guys. We'll see you Monday.
Thank you for listening to the End Time Headlines podcast. We pray that you've been blessed and equipped by today's message. For more information about how you can help partner with our ministry, please visit endtimeheadlines.org.